We're so used to seeing big market crashes, you know, they get announced with these violent, headline-grabbing
Well,
explosions.
yeah, the sudden drop, the panic, the news cycles just full of bankruptcies.
But what if the end of a whole speculative era, that whole free money forever cycle, what if it didn't arrive with a bang, but like slowly, quietly, almost so you wouldn't even see it happening?
That invisible exit is pretty much the core story our sources are telling today. We're looking at a macro shift that didn't just drain the speculative energy from the token market, it redirected it. And in doing so, it just fundamentally changed the rules for everyone left.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack how these deep political shifts and, of course, the overwhelming rise of AI quietly pulled all the liquidity, all that speculative energy right out of crypto.
And the craziest part is that most people didn't realize the ground had shifted under them until long, long after it had happened. So welcome to the deep dive. We're synthesizing a ton of research here on what's being called the macro environment reset, which really changed the game for all speculative assets, not just crypto. We're basically following the money, the institutional dollar, as it snuck out of one casino and into another.
And we've broken this down into three key phases. First, we'll analyze the two big external forces that were responsible for crypto's quiet deflation. That's the political variable and the huge rotation of capital into AI.
Then we'll look at what happened next, which is this consolidation phase inside crypto itself. This is where we define the new rules for survival. I mean, the non-negotiable criteria. You need real users, a real plan for monetization, and you have to be solving a real problem.
And finally, we're going to connect all of that to this bigger historical pattern of markets that are driven by narratives. We'll look at some past bubbles and really dig into why AI is following the exact same speculative curve that crypto just got off of.
It's a really compelling story about how liquidity is governed less by fundamentals and more by these dominant narratives and, political risk. That's what decides where trillions of dollars flow. So let's start with this invisible correction.
The thing that really jumps out from the sources is just how unexpected the nature of this correction was. I mean, we all remember the big
Oh,
shocks.
for sure.
You had the sudden death spiral of Terra Luna and then that cascading FTX shockwave. Those were violent, scary events.
Yeah, but those were retail-driven panic. This recent shift, this real macro reset, it was different. The sources describe it as more of a controlled venting, a gradual slide.
A controlled venting. I like that.
Yeah, imagine a pressure cooker that's been slowly leaking steam for like 18 months instead of just blowing up all at once.
And what's so crucial is that the underlying tech, the actual blockchains, they stayed intact. The value didn't just plummet to zero. It was the energy, the frivolous capital that just vanished.
The speculative fuel is gone, but the skeleton is still there. And that's why it was so easy to miss. I mean, most people, builders, investors, they were focused on the daily token prices, right? The community drama. They only realized how big this deflationary slide was after all the energy was already gone. Because the drivers were external, they were macro, and they were deeply political.
Okay, let's unpack that political variable because this feels like the part of the story that most people overlook. The sources really pinpoint this sharp shift in the macro environment, and it's all based on the anticipation of a new political climate in the US.
And what's so fascinating is that the market wasn't waiting for a specific law to pass.
Right.
It was reacting to the idea of a new political and regulatory posture. You have to remember, these big institutional investors, they run massive, complex risk models. And those models are incredibly sensitive to the probability of regulatory enforcement.
So when the political winds shift, the whole calculation changes. The capital that was totally comfortable sitting in these unregulated gray zones, like, say, certain corners of DeFi, it suddenly starts to look toxic from a compliance standpoint.
Precisely. It's a regulatory chilling effect. The experienced investors, the smart money, they can smell when the casino's about to change management or when the surveillance cameras are about to be turned on.
And they do not want to be the ones left holding the bag when some sudden punitive enforcement action comes down.
Not at all. And this de-risking, it happens in total silence. It's a stealth capital flight.
Yeah.
They pull back long before the retail investors who are maybe still chasing the next meme coin even notice that the room got cold. The market
Yeah.
just, it loses its charm, that wild, unmanaged feeling. And the big money just looks for safer places to go.
And that liquidity doesn't just disappear into thin air, it gets redirected.
Exactly. It flows towards areas that are better aligned with the new political power structure. Think traditional interest groups, defense spending, energy infrastructure, things like that. So you have this simultaneous pull from crypto and a push into other sectors, and it just created this massive vacuum.
I do have to push back a little here, though. Are we positive it's not just correlation? I mean, didn't the huge interest rate hikes starting in 2022 do more to drain that speculative liquidity than anything else?
That's a really important question. And the distinction is key. The interest rate hikes were the mechanism. They're what removed the cheap, abundant money from the whole system.
Yeah, okay.
But the political shift was the directional signal. The rate hikes hit everything, sure. But the anticipation of regulatory action told investors which specific speculative assets to get out of first. Crypto shot right to the top of the list because of its gray area risk profile.
So one drained the pool and the other told people where to run.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, the market conditions made capital scarce and the political climate made it specifically fearful of crypto. And that fear, well, it led them directly to the second big shift.
Yeah.
The rise of AI.
Right.
The rotation wasn't about finding the cheapest asset. It was about finding the clearest investment thesis. And smart money, it always rotates in silence. They exited tokens without a single press release. No market panic.
They just moved away from tokens, which, you know, their value is based entirely on a promise of future adoption. And they moved toward assets that have tangible present-day demand and much clearer paths to monetization.
We really have to dig into that difference. A token's value is tied to future network adoption. Compute value is tied to present resource scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
They're investing in physical stuff, specialized chips, massive data centers, the actual energy needed to run them. You can literally count the number of NVIDIA chips. You can calculate the operational cost in megawatts. It's real.
So while tokens need you to believe in this sort of distant, distributed future, AI compute just needs you to believe in the reality of today's resource consumption. It feels like a hard asset.
And that shift in perception from this intangible future promise to measurable present scarcity, that was the gravitational pull. That's what accelerated the whole deflationary slide in crypto. It was just rational, self-serving capital looking for better, less politically complicated returns.
So, given that whole rotation and the political situation, what's the simplest takeaway on why the crypto market is even still standing?
Institutional capital exited rationally, and that avoided a catastrophic sudden failure.
That successful controlled venting of pressure brings us right into the current state of crypto, which the sources are calling this necessary consolidation phase.
Yeah.
That environment that allowed for, you know, reckless expansion, the whole free money fantasy, it's over.
And you can see the symptoms everywhere. Projects that were built on nothing but tokenomics. You know, printing tokens to reward early users and hoping to figure out the utility later. They're just fading away.
Yeah.
Teams that burn through huge VC war chests are realizing that the infinite runway they were promised is gone. They're cutting staff. They're merging. Or they're just quietly disappearing.
That core belief that you could get rich just by being part of the hype cycle, getting a big airdrop, launching a mediocre token, that's been completely wiped out by the macro reality.
It was a really toxic way to build anything, honestly. It incentivized teams to focus on marketing and token distribution instead of genuine product market fit. When money was free, mistakes didn't matter.
Right. You could just raise another round.
You could always raise another round. Just write a new white paper with a slightly different tokenomic model. That is absolutely no longer true.
So this means the market is now demanding this sort of brutal honesty. A big VC check isn't a shield anymore. A huge community that's only there to farm rewards is actually worthless. The requirements for survival have gotten really narrow, down to three non-negotiable pillars.
Yes, the three pillars of survival.
Yeah.
And if you want to make it through this tougher environment, you need all three. No exceptions.
So let's define them. The first one is real users. And this is way more than just community hype or people voting in a DAO.
Real users means actual, genuine adoption. Are people using this product in their daily lives? Is it solving a real pain point for a business or a consumer? Or is it just being used for speculation? If your user base vanishes, the second the token rewards dry up, you never had real users.
And the second pillar, a real monetization plan. This is where a lot of crypto native projects just completely fall apart.
Oh, it's so crucial for sustainability. You cannot rely on printing new tokens as your main source of revenue. You need a clear, sustainable way to make money that looks like a real business.
Like fees or subscriptions.
Exactly. Fees, subscription access, charging for services. The market needs to see that your product can support itself even if the token price goes sideways for the next 5 years.
And then the third pillar. A real problem to solve. Why do you absolutely need a blockchain for your solution?
This is the necessity test. Are you providing real, tangible value? Are you making something genuinely easier or faster or cheaper in a way that a centralized option just can't? If your solution doesn't absolutely need the core properties of a blockchain, like censorship resistance, then the project is just, it's unnecessary, and it will get undercut by a faster, cheaper Web2 company.
And the really harsh reality the sources lay out is that if a project is missing even one of these pillars, it's basically already on life support.
Yeah, the market just hasn't gotten around to pricing in that reality yet, but it will.
And that lack of genuine value is also showing up in the social scene, right? The conferences are smaller.
They're so much smaller. They feel like these small, closed reunions now. It's this tight, self-referential loop that was built on the illusion of everyone making free money together.
Yeah.
When that core fantasy collapses, the loop just gets tighter and tighter.
Which creates this necessary contrast between the old crypto-native teams and the builders who are now coming into the space. This Web2 influx.
The crypto-natives. And, you know, bless them. They were raised in an era where capital was so abundant that execution risk was, like, a secondary concern. They learned to prioritize the token's value over the user's experience. They had to be loud, to be influencers, because hype brought in the money.
But these new builders, the ones from Web2 or traditional tech, they're just wired differently. They've been hardened by the need for tight profit margins, sustainable user acquisition, and data-driven results. They could not care less about the cult memes or the token launch narratives of 2021.
They're bringing actual business rigor to the table. They know how to build sustainable products and, critically, how to generate revenue without needing to, you know, cosplay as influencers. They get that a great product is its own marketing.
So the new honesty is that simple. A token might be part of your business, but it doesn't guarantee you a business. A long runway doesn't mean your product is actually necessary. And a DAO is often just a fancy word for a centralized team playing decentralization theater.
And this quiet season is actually the most important thing for the future of the space. This is when the real builders finally show up. They're not the ones yelling on Twitter. They're heads down, totally focused on those three pillars, and creating real value out of the necessity of survival.
The message is clear then. Anyone trying to just replay the high speculation games of 2021 is going to fail. Only a tough adaptation to this new, more honest, capital-constrained world will lead to success in the next cycle.
So what is the single biggest difference between the old crypto era and the one emerging now?
The new cycle demands verifiable value creation over pure speculative token issuance. We're going to take a quick pause here to hear from our partners who make these deep dives possible.
Understanding these massive shifts in capital requires reliable, independent analysis, and we truly appreciate the support that allows us to focus entirely on synthesizing these critical insights for you.
When we return, we're pivoting entirely. We'll follow that rotating capital into the AI boom, looking at how the liquidity that left crypto created one of the most concentrated speculative pushes we have seen since the dot-com era.
Stay with us. The historical data on this rotation and the concentration risks in AI are truly startling.
More right after this. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before the break, we covered how macro political shifts and the rotation toward AI caused a quiet, controlled, but necessary deflation in the crypto market.
And now we are tracking the money. We are following that silently rotated capital, and it leads us directly into the heart of the current dominant global narrative. Artificial intelligence.
The sources bring up a really critical concept here, which is the growing dominance of narrative capital in modern markets and how it often just completely outweighs the underlying fundamentals. This is the engine that's driving the AI boom.
And this isn't a new thing, but it's an acceleration of a really long-term trend.
Yeah.
The analysis looks at the shift between 1980 and 2008, where the whole financial system moved away from productive physical investments towards stuff driven by intellectual property and future promises.
Mm-hmm.
The narrative.
The data on this is just staggering. It shows this fundamental change in how we perceive global value, the share of global market value that was tied to tangible assets, you know, stuff you can actually touch, like factories, equipment, real estate. It dropped severely.
It plummeted from over $37.5 trillion to under $15.5 trillion.
Mm.
That is a massive reduction in the focus on physical reality in investment portfolios.
Wow.
Suddenly, investors were valuing intangible assets, IP, data, brand, future, potential way, more highly than hard physical capital.
And in the meantime, these intangible, narrative-driven assets just exploded in value. This whole shift taught investors a really brutal but clear lesson.
That hype gets you faster returns than fundamentals.
Yeah.
Why wait 10 years for a factory to generate value when you can spread a compelling narrative like this software will eat the world and pump a stock or a token literally overnight?
And that behavior just established the pattern. It conditioned the market to chase the next big story, and that's led to this consistent chain of massive speculative bubbles, each one defined by its own dominant narrative.
And the historical data proves it out again and again. You start with the dot-com bubble in 2000. The collapse of all those internet startups wiped out $5 trillion in market value.
A massive number. Then just 8 years later, the 2008 financial crisis, which erased $19.2 trillion in household wealth.
And these aren't small corrections. They're foundational resets, usually driven by misplaced trust in a system or a story.
Then in the digital world, the cycle just kept repeating. The 2017 crypto run saw Bitcoin surge, what, plus 1,900% in just a year, all driven by the narrative of decentralized money.
And then most recently, the 2021 NFT peak. Traded volume hit $17 billion in speculative digital art before collapsing by more than 90% the very next year. These aren't isolated events. They're predictable phases of the same cycle. It's speculative capital looking for the next big story.
And right now, the entire cycle has shifted. All that capital that quietly left crypto has accelerated it. The new dominant narrative is 100% AI.
And the data on the inflow is just staggering. It confirms how fast the rotation happened. The money that left tokens didn't just sit on the sidelines. It went straight into compute, data centers, and these large-scale foundation models.
And for anyone who's not familiar, foundation models are these huge AI systems trained on enormous data sets. They're sort of the base layer, like an operating system, for thousands of other specialized apps. They require incredible infrastructure.
And the capital needed to feed that infrastructure is immense. Nearly 58% of all global private investment is now going into AI-related ventures. Chips, data infrastructure. That level of concentration in one tech is a classic sign of a huge speculative focus.
I mean, you just have to look at the poster child for this, NVIDIA. They grew their market cap by over $2 trillion in 24 months.
$2 trillion.
That's not just a successful business. That's an intense speculative fever about the future scarcity and dominance of AI infrastructure.
And that fever has distorted the entire market. The concentration warning signs are flashing bright red when you look at the Magnificent Seven, those big tech companies heavily invested in AI.
They're carrying the whole index. The sources show that those seven companies contributed over 60% of the S&P 500's gains in 2023 and 2024.
Let that sink in for a second. The perception of the entire U.S. stock market's growth is reliant on the speculative hope around just seven companies in one sector. That is not broad economic growth. That is focused liquidity pumping a single story.
Whoa. And imagine scaling that capital inflow. Imagine scaling the infrastructure demand you'd need to support 1 billion daily user queries on new AI systems. The continuous investment needed just to keep up with the hype must be terrifying.
And that terror just drives more investment, right? It creates this self-fulfilling prophecy until the cost structure inevitably catches up. It's the definition of a market driven by narrative velocity, where the promise of the future outweighs the difficulty of making a profit today.
So when we look at all this, what's the single most significant piece of data showing how reliant the general market is on AI?
Over 60% of the S&P 500's growth in the last 2 years came from just seven AI-focused companies.
This speculative concentration in AI is already leading to these classic, unavoidable stress signals, the same ones we saw in crypto bubbles and the dot-com era. The macro environment is just demanding this massive acceleration faster than any real profitable value can be created.
You're suggesting that even with trillions in market cap and this endless river of investment, the internal economics of AI are already starting to look strained. Absolutely. The central problem is a classic one. Compute costs are rising way faster than the ability to generate sustainable, meaningful revenue from the models. It's an arms race with an incredibly high barrier to entry.
Let's talk specifics on that cost. I mean, training a model is not something a small lab can do anymore.
No way. The training budgets now exceed $1 billion per model for the leading labs. And that's just to create the base layer. $1 billion in capital expenditure before you even think about deployment costs.
And the infrastructure challenge is just compounding exponentially. It's moving beyond just chips now and into basic resources like energy.
The numbers are alarming. Electricity demand from AI data centers is projected to grow 160% by 2030. That level of operational cost creates an insane revenue requirement. You have to justify not just the initial billion-dollar training, but the continuous escalating cost of just keeping the lights on.
And yet, when you actually look at the monetization figures, the gap is just, it's immediately obvious.
It is. Despite all the investment and all the hype, fewer than 5% of AI companies are generating what you'd call meaningful profit. This gap, huge escalating investment, exploding costs, and tiny profitability, is the defining feature of an unsustainable speculative cycle. It will, inevitably, correct itself.
I find this parallel to crypto so important. These are the exact same warning signs we saw in every single cycle that was built on the narrative of making free money forever, whether it was through tokens or the idea of infinite frictionless software growth.
It's history repeating, just with much bigger numbers attached. The revenue reality always catches up to the cost structure. The underlying complexity is often masked by the market cap. You know, it's funny, I still wrestle with prompt drift myself when I'm just trying to keep models stable for simple tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And that personal struggle makes me understand, on a gut level, just how high those multi-billion dollar training and refinement costs must feel for the leading labs.
That's a great point. It connects this abstract billion-dollar cost to the daily struggle of actually using the tech. So if smart money sees this pattern, and they already exited crypto quietly, what's their next move? Are they already preparing a stealth pivot out of AI?
They're always rotating ahead of the curve. They're preparing for the exit, even while they're still pumping the narrative. The very same funds that drove the DeFi boom, then the NFT hype, and then did that stealth move into AI, they are not going to stick around to clean up the aftermath when the AI bubble eventually pops.
So what's their focus now? Where are they moving inside the AI sphere, and what are the post-AI narratives they're looking at?
So right now, they're reallocating into what they see as the most secure, defensible parts of the AI stack. That's large integrated compute clusters and, crucially, sovereign AI initiatives.
Sovereign AI meaning government-backed efforts?
Exactly. National efforts to control the physical AI assets and data. It adds this layer of national security defensibility to the investment. But the really crucial insight is that big money exits early and quietly. They are actively looking for the post-AI narratives, where the liquidity will flow next, often years before the crash actually happens.
So what are those narratives?
Well, the sources suggest areas that offer that same sense of tangibility and foundational change that AI infrastructure offers now. This includes things like synthetic biology, which is basically programmable life, robotics, and critically tokenized real-world assets, or RWA.
Mm. RWA is a fascinating next stop. It directly addresses the lack of real assets that caused crypto's deflation in the first place. It offers a way for DeFi to actually interact with hard assets like commodities or real estate. It provides the utility demanded by the three pillars.
Precisely. These areas have the potential for massive foundational change. They solve tangible problems, but they are much earlier on the speculative curve. So big money is positioning itself for the inevitable rotation out of the current dominant hype cycle.
This lets us sort of summarize the contrasting cycle curves here. They are on completely different timelines.
AI is still very much on that exponential capital inflow curve. It's heading rapidly toward unsustainable expectations, massive concentration, and a future burst. It's following the classic pattern of every narrative bubble before it.
Whereas crypto, on the other hand, has already completed its gradual controlled deflation. It shed that free money narrative. The cleanup is happening right now during consolidation. It's positioned to potentially emerge tougher, cleaner on the other side.
And that quiet, painful deflation is why it wasn't seen as some catastrophic collapse by the public. It was a slow, deliberate draining of toxic speculative energy, orchestrated by institutional investors who were focused on political risk and the next big story.
This has been an incredibly deep look at how these huge macro forces, politics, and tech narratives govern even the markets that seem the most independent. The core lesson here really is that the free money era died not with a bang, but with a silent, rational rotation of institutional capital.
And that institutional reallocation was driven by two things coming together. First, a political realignment that suddenly made certain tokens too risky from a compliance standpoint. And second, the irresistible rise of a huge technological rival, AI, that offered clearer, more tangible investment targets, compute power, and infrastructure scarcity.
And the necessary adaptation for the crypto space is just, it's unambiguous. The next cycle, the one that comes out of this consolidation, it belongs only to teams who can grow without hype. who can get users based on actual utility and who refuse to sell fantasies about how you can make free money just by showing up early.
The real game is tougher, it's cleaner, and finally it's honest. The speculation has largely rotated somewhere else, leaving behind only the builders who are prioritizing those three pillars: real users, real monetization, and solving a real, necessary problem.
That brings us to our final thought for you, the listener, to consider as you digest all this and look at the broader economy. If the vast majority, over 60% of the S&P 500's growth, is concentrated in the handful of companies supplying AI infrastructure, what does the inevitable, statistically guaranteed bursting of the AI bubble mean for the stability of the entire global stock market?
It raises some really profound questions about how reliant our modern indices are on this concentrated narrative capital, and whether we've really learned the lessons from the instability of the dot-com era. Reflect on that dynamic between narrative velocity and fundamental value.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the shifting currents of global liquidity and the new rules of survival in the consolidated crypto space.
We encourage you to keep observing those subtle movements in capital flow. See you next time.